This morning we continue with our series, Seven Colors of Communion. Like white light, it's refracted into seven different colors. We're looking at one holy meal, and we're looking at seven different aspects of it. There's so much that you could say about this meal. Probably much more than seven, but we'll stick to seven for our series. Seven Colors of Communion. The first week we talked about this table as a remembrance. We come to the table to remember Christ, to remember what He did for us, to remember who He is. And as Christ meets us at the table, He is our host. Then we talked about having fellowship with Christ and with each other. We come to the table to have communion with Christ and with each other as we come. And then we talked about this table as a place of forgiveness, where we experience the forgiveness that Christ has wrought for us on the cross, giving His own life on our behalf. Today we will talk about the renewal of our baptismal vows as we come to this table. Color is green this week. When we think about the table, bread, wine, we think about the institution of this meal. The first time that this happened, we call it the Last Supper, where Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast with His disciples. And when we think about Passover feast, we think about the Exodus and how the Jews would celebrate a meal, and they would slaughter a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and put that on the doorpost and the door frame of their houses, so that when the angel of death came across Egypt, he would not come into their homes. Their firstborns were saved, whereas the Egyptian firstborns died in that time. So the blood of that lamb was instrumental in them being saved, and them not being judged as the Egyptian homes were. Now Jesus Christ is called the Passover Lamb. So He Himself becomes the sacrifice. His blood should be put on the doorpost of our hearts. That would save us. That would mean that we would not be judged as the Egyptians were judged at that time. Now, when Jesus has this Last Supper with His disciples, something interesting happens. Because He institutes something different than what they have been doing up to now. They have been celebrating the Passover feast, having a lamb and having a meal together and remembering the Exodus. But this time, Jesus takes bread and wine. And instead of saying about the lamb, "This is my body," He says that about the bread. It seems like Jesus is making a transition here from the feast that they had before, the Passover feast, to a new kind of feast, which would now be communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. People use different names for it. But He's making this transition from the lamb was representing my body, and now the bread is representing my body. In the Passover feast tradition, they would have that once a year. But Jesus changes that and He says, "This is as often as you do this." And we see that in the tradition of the early church, they would come together probably at least once a week to have this meal together. So there are quite a few differences then between the Passover feast and this new meal that Jesus institutes. But there is a connection between them, and Jesus is the connection. He is the one that fulfills the Passover feast. The Passover feast was there until Jesus came. He was the real Passover lamb. But now that he has changed, now that he's transitioned from that, from the old to the new, he has asked us not to remember him once a year with a lamb, but to remember him as often as we can with bread and wine. When Mark writes about this, he writes this, he records this for us. Let us read from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 25. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for these words written down by Mark. We thank you for this holy meal instituted by Jesus Christ. I pray that today, as we look further into this, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would understand more, and Lord, that you would draw us in, so that as we partake today, because later this morning, Lord, we will eat and drink from this table, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray, Lord, that we would remember you, that we would fellowship with each other and with you. Lord, that we would once again receive your forgiveness, and that we would renew our baptismal vows at this table. I pray, Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Would you come and teach us today? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these words of Mark, we find two distinctive themes. The themes of covenant and kingdom. Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Paul records the words of Jesus as the new covenant in my blood. Both of them are saying the same thing. This is a new covenant, one that is instituted by the blood of Jesus, not the blood of goats and bulls like the Mosaic covenant. So Jesus is saying, this is the covenant in my blood, which makes it a new covenant. And Paul comes out and says, it is a new covenant. Luke as well supports Paul's writing. This is the new covenant. So we have this sign here of the new covenant, different from the Mosaic covenant. We have the blood of Christ instead of the blood of goats and bulls. There is a continuity between the two covenants because both of them are between God and his people. In the old covenant, there was a time when God said, "You were not a people, but now you are a people," as he brought them together. And he covenanted with them and he said, "I will be your God and you will be my people." That purpose of God, to make a people for himself, has not changed through all time. But it has expanded. Whereas in the old covenant, it was between God and Israel only. In the new covenant, it's between God and all people. In the old covenant, the first covenant, people became the people of God by birth. You had to be born a Jew. But in the new covenant, we become people of God by faith. It doesn't matter what race you are born. It doesn't matter where on this planet you live. But you can become a son or a daughter of God by faith. This is what God promised to Abraham in the beginning, even before the Mosaic covenant. When God said to Abraham, "You will be the father of many nations. Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Those were the promises God gave. Because God had in mind already that there's going to be a new covenant. And that new covenant will include people from every tribe, nation and tongue. We see that in Revelation. Standing before the throne, worshipping the Father and worshipping the Lamb. The first covenant, we had the 12, they were divided into the 12 tribes of Jacob. The 12 sons of Jacob were the fathers of the 12 tribes. But Jesus changes that when he calls 12 disciples. These 12 disciples were not from the 12 tribes. He changes all that. He says to these 12 that he calls, he's constituting a new Israel. He's saying to these 12, "You will sit on the thrones of Israel. And you will judge." You see the change that he's making from the old covenant to the new covenant. As Christians, we are now God's people in terms of this new covenant. And this brings us to an important point. This meal is for God's covenant people. It is for those who are the body of Christ. God's covenant people who renew their covenant faithfulness to Jesus Christ year at the table. This is not for unbelievers. Unbelievers are not part of the covenant people of God. They are not part of the body of Christ. And so they do not participate at this table. That is why we always invite those who have made Jesus Lord and Savior of their lives to come to the table. We recognize that this table is not a table of this church. This is a table of the Lord Jesus Himself. And this is open to everyone who is in the body of Christ. And everyone who has made that commitment to have Him as their Lord and Savior. Those people who have made a profession of faith, who have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, and who have vowed to serve Him as their Lord and Savior, they are the people of the new covenant. They renew their vows every time they come to this table. The covenant people are the people who bow the knee to Christ. They remember Him. They fellowship with Him. They receive forgiveness from Him. And they renew their allegiance to Him. That is the first theme that we find in Mark. The theme of covenant. But this brings us to the second theme, which is the kingdom. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When Jesus came, starting His ministry, He preached this message, "The kingdom of God has come near." His first sermons, in fact, his theme of all his sermons was about the kingdom of God. That is what he preached. That is what he taught. He also teaches in the Lord's Prayer to pray for the kingdom to come. He's preaching it, he's teaching it, and then he's asking people to pray for the kingdom to come. In this sentence here, the statement that Jesus makes, He says, truly, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day. This is a commitment that Jesus makes. It is reminiscent of the activists who will not rest until they have accomplished their goal. We see an example of this here in the book of Acts. As you know, as Paul was preaching this new covenant, many of the Jews did not like that, and they wanted to have Paul killed. And we find this interesting passage, very disconcerting actually, where Paul is in Jerusalem, and in Acts 23, from verse 12, it says, the next morning the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready then to kill him before he gets here. That was the plot. 40 men made this vow not to eat or drink anything until Paul is dead. Now we know how the story goes. We know that God protected Paul and they couldn't kill him. But that was the vow they made. We will not eat, we will not drink until this is done. It shows their fanatical commitment to that goal that they set themselves. And it's reminiscent of what Jesus is saying here. He said, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until I do this in the kingdom of God. When he says fruit of the vine, it doesn't just mean he's not going to drink anything like wine before that time, but it really speaks about this meal. It is in this context that he's speaking to them. He says, I will not drink this again until in the kingdom of God. So Jesus makes that commitment. Between the Last Supper and the coming of the kingdom, he is not going to participate in this meal. But there will come a day when the kingdom will fully come. And in that day, we will participate with Jesus in the banquet of the Lamb. That day will come. But that day is not here yet. We live between those times. We live between the time of the already and the not yet. There's a tension. Because the kingdom has already come in part, but the kingdom has not already come in full. So, we see that some of the benefits of the kingdom we can experience right here and right now. But it's in part. The fullness of the kingdom is not yet. That is what Christ will do when He comes back. When Christ returns, His kingdom will fully come. All the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and King. His justice will flood the world. His peace would flood all nations. He'll have healing in His hands. Right now we see some justice, we see some peace, we see some healing, but it's only in part. We will see this, we will experience this in full when that day comes. And Jesus is pledging. He's saying, I will be working, I will be bringing my kingdom, I will be furthering the events of this world until that day. I am pledging myself for that reason. So when we come to this table, we understand that we are participating as covenant people, but we also understand that we are participating as people of the kingdom. that there is a mission. There is something that we should be working towards, which is bringing God's kingdom. When we pray, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, this is what we pray for. This is what we want to see, what we want to experience. And guess what? We are God's hands and feet. We are God's agents as He is working out His purposes. Every Sunday when we come here, there's a certain rhythm in our lives. Because we come from a world where we are busy with work and family and commitments, and we have relationships with strangers, with neighbors, with all kinds of people, all kinds of situations in the world. We come from that on a Sunday morning to be in the presence of God and each other. There's a certain rhythm here, a rhythm of drawing, coming out of the world one day in the week, and then on Monday morning going back into the world for the week again. And then coming back in here on Sunday and then going out for the week again. Now this rhythm that we have, when we come to this table, we are energized for this. We are strengthened for this. Our focus is narrowed. We are once again reminded what we are about. We are about God's business. We are about God's kingdom. We are about being the people of God. We have covenanted with Him to follow Him, to serve Him. And as we do so, our goal is for His kingdom to come. I was reminded, I was watching the hockey last night. We had the gold medal game between Germany and, athletes from Russia. You're not allowed to say Russia, I think, but athletes from Russia, we know where they're from. And I think most of us were just cheering for Germany, right? We wanted them to win. But what struck me was how the athletes would come from the ice onto the bench, and the coach would be there, and the coach would have like a little pad, and he would show them the game plan. He would be refreshing their memories, and he would be updating them and saying, now this is what you need to do when you get back out on the ice, because you're only on the bench for a little while, and you have to get back out on the ice. And the coach would be showing them what the plays are that they need to be doing. That's what Sunday is like. We come here from the world, and we come here to be updated again, to be refocused, to be reconnected to Jesus. And then to go out into the world again with an update of the playbook in this week, as I go out, as I go to work, as I meet my neighbors, as I go shopping, as I go to the gym, as I do all the things that I do in my normal day, I'm going to be thinking about the kingdom, because that's my vision. Just like that coach, I want to be like, yes, let's come together. Let's meet with Christ. Let's get recharged, reinvigorated. Let's get strengthened for this week that lies ahead. We are the covenant people. We are not the German team or the Canadian hockey team, but we are the covenant people of God. We're God's team. And the kingdom is the focus. The kingdom is what we are about. That's our game plan. So we come to this table to renew our baptismal vows. When we be baptized into Christ, we made this vow to serve Him. This covenant with God. You'll be our God, we will be your people. And we come to this table, we come to renew that. Say, yes, Lord, I have chosen you. I might have made some mistakes this past week. Maybe I did things or said things I shouldn't have done. But I choose you. You are my God. And I want to renew my vows here at this table. And I know that you have given your life to bring this kingdom of yours to this world. The whole world is waiting in anticipation for the kingdom to come. And Lord, I want to commit myself again this week coming, that as I go out into this world, that I will be working for your kingdom. We are the covenant people. We are kingdom people. We are kingdom focused. We are covenant strengthened. At this table, the covenant and the kingdom come together. And we are reminded once again who we are and what we are about. So we renew those things. And we go out again into this world, into the new week, with strength, knowing we are not alone. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." I've given you the instructions. I've given you the game plan, that you know what to do, but you won't be alone. I will be with you, and I will strengthen you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In this world you will have trouble, but know this, I have overcome this world. And know how the story will end. The story ends with God's justice and peace and His healing that floods the whole world. This is how the story ends. So brothers and sisters, as we come to this table, let us renew our commitment to God and to His purposes. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this new covenant, that we can be your people, even though we were not born from Jewish blood. That you have brought us in by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord God, this morning we just want to say that we are so privileged to be your people. We want to recommit ourselves, Lord, to serve you and you alone. But you are the number one person in our lives. All our other relationships, all our other commitments, they pale in comparison, Lord. They move into the shadows as we look at you. And Lord, we want to recommit our lives for your kingdom. The purposes that you have for us and that you have for this world. We pray, Lord, that your kingdom would come. We pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.